talking about the knowability of God. Many times the Bible references how intimately acquainted the Lord is with us. You know, because the Bible says that in the Old Testament, how God is fully acquainted with us, with every aspect of who we are. Sometimes we really don't know ourselves because we find ourselves in certain situations and we find out who we really are. Because sometimes we say we'll never do that, and sometimes we can find ourselves doing it. Bless God. So in some cases, we really don't know ourselves, but God knows us. God said he knows our thoughts are far off. He is acquainted with all our ways. Amen. Even before we say anything out of our mouth, God already knows. And before you do anything, God already knew. That's how wonderful and awesome he is. All right, so God is acquainted with you. He's acquainted with me. But how acquainted am I with him? That's the question. How acquainted are we with him? Because that's what it's all about. It's about having a relationship with our God. How acquainted are you with him? How well do we know the Lord? And where are we on the continuum of knowing him, if you will? And how is our personal relationship with him? So the next step from last week's message on the existence of God, we already know that God exists. And since we know he exists, then the question arises, can we really know him? He exists. He's, you know, some people see God as this being way out there that can't be touched, can't be felt. Amen. Really can't be reached. He's some idea. But God is much bigger than that. He is a personal God. Amen. The Bible said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? So God has his mind on you, his creation. All right. So the question arises, can we really know him? And how much can we know of him? That's the question. And that's something we should be pursuing each and every day. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about my God, your God. I know we know a lot, but we're going to come to realize that as much as we know, there's still room to learn more about him. And that's what God, that's how God have designed it. So we first start with the fact that God wants mankind to know him intimately. All right. Which is one of the reasons why he created us. He created us to have a relationship with him and to worship him for who he is. Plain and simple. We don't serve God with a type of attitude, what have you done for me lately? Right? We serve him not just because of what he's doing for us, but we worship and serve him simply because of who he is. If God doesn't do anything else for us for the rest of his life, of our life, although he will, we should be willing to serve him and worship him with the same intensity. And so it's all about a relationship with God and to worship him for who he is. Worshiping him in our spiritual life should be like breathing in our natural life. In other words, it should be what sustains and keeps us alive spiritually. Let's also start with the fact that if we are to know God at all, then it is necessary that he reveal himself to us. Now, anybody ever heard the word revelation? That word revelation kind of is used out there, but we need to understand something about revelation. Amen. We need to know about revelation because that's what this is called, revelation. When God makes known a spiritual thing to you and gives you the ability to perceive it in your spirit and understand it, not only in your spirit, but in your mind, that's revelation. Amen. And we have to understand that because we understand that we don't come to know God by the wisdom of this world, but we come to know God by the wisdom of God and what God reveals to us. Revelation. Somebody say revelation. This is revelation. Revelation is not necessarily something that when we figure out mentally, but something God shows us spiritually and causes us to perceive spiritually and understand mentally. Spiritual perception is important. That's important that we have spiritual perception. We perceive what's going on around us. We perceive the things of God. We understand spiritual things. Because you can't figure out, now everybody know that I don't believe that when you come into the church of God and you sit down and you listen to the message and the word of the Lord, that you check your mind in at the door. Everybody understand and know that I don't believe that. Bless God. But yet at the same time, there's certain things that you can't figure out with your physical mind, but that the Holy Spirit is going to have to cause us in our spirit, amen, to understand a spiritual concept. Otherwise, we won't have the ability or the capacity to understand it unless God gives it to us. Is everybody with me so far? As a matter of fact, there's certain spiritual things to the world, amen, it's foolishness. The Bible said, we can't understand it if we don't have that spiritual capacity to receive the things of God. Is everybody with me? Then we need to be born again and have the word of God and filled with the Holy Spirit to perceive the things that God wants us to know. All right. So the Apostle Paul reiterates the fact of the revelation of God when he tells us what can be known of God is plain to people because God has made them known. Now, I talked about that on last week about all the things out there. He made them known to us. Plain and simple. Matter of fact, amen, the Bible said there are those out there that will be with what? Without excuse, because God showed it to them, the Bible says. They may deny it, they may reject it. Bless God. But the Bible said God showed it to us. He reveals things to you and I. Praise the Lord. And so Paul talks about that when he says that God made them plain and made them known to us, to people, because God has shown it to them. Matthew 11:27, write that down. Jesus tells us no one knows the Son except the Father. And that's how you get to the Father, is through the Son, right? Is that right? I talked about the Godhead last week, amen, or the week before last, what the Godhead is, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And people say, well, you can't find Trinity in the Bible. Yeah, but you can find triune God. You can find the Godhead. You can find the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. These three are one. Amen. I talked about the Elohim, right? Is that right? These three are one. And even the Jewish scholars are grappling with that whole idea of Genesis 1:1, right? But we know that it represents the Trinity, right? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is the reason why in that verse, it's plural. Elohim. When you see him on the end, it's plural. So we understand, and we talked about the Shema, amen? The Lord God is one God. Yes, he's one God, but in three personalities, if you will. If I can say it that way. Okay, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or in three persons. All right, let's say it like that, all right? So the Bible said no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal them. And we looked at that last week. The Bible said God at various times and in various ways showed and revealed himself to us, but he also revealed himself through his dear Son, Jesus Christ. And here we see Matthew tells us, no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal to him. All right. So the fact, amen, is while God can be known very intimately and very much in depth. In other words, you can know him. Right. And you can know him in depth. But we cannot know about him completely on this side of glory. And I'm going to repeat that. Mm-hmm. And so the fact is, while God can be known very intimately and very much in depth, but we cannot know about him completely on this side of glory. This causes us to pursue him and seek him, to know him more day by day in our lives. And that God designed it that way. So we don't ever in life, on this side, ever reach an apex, a level where we just got it all. We just know every exhaustively know everything there is to know about God. Amen. God designed it this way. As much as you study, the more you're going to learn. As much as you seek him, the more you're going to find him. As much as you want to know about him, listen, the more he's going to reveal himself to you. Because I'm sure many of you have read the scripture one time and the Holy Spirit may have revealed something, and years later you read the same scripture again and the Holy Spirit will show you something that you never seen before. God is like that. First of all, because the word of God is alive. But second of all, God continually reveals himself to us. And we never get to the point that we know everything about God. I don't care. You can have Bishop behind your name. Bless God. We still don't know everything there is about God. And that's why it's important that we continually pursue him, continually seek him, and continually study the word of God. What the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that hearing there is a continual hearing, and not having heard, you know, amen, but an ongoing hearing. Even though I've heard it before, I need to hear it again. I need to rehearse it in my spirit. I need to meditate on it day and night, so that I can be a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in a season. And then I can know my leaf will not, oh my goodness, I'll leave that alone. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's an ongoing thing. God designed it that way. So we never get to a certain apex, a certain level of knowing him or knowing about him completely on earth. Also, last week we discussed, amen, how God cannot be known, amen, by earthly wisdom, but by the wisdom that comes from God. The Bible tells us that. The wisdom that we have of him comes from him. We can't use worldly wisdom to understand anything about God. It has to come from him. This causes us to pursue him and seek to know him more and more in our lives day by day. So we come to know him better through God's active communication to us by revelation and by scripture, and also by the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that God is infinite and we are limited beings. And thus, a man can never fully understand God and fully comprehend everything there is to know about him. So no matter how close we get to the Lord, there still remain questions that you have for him and about him that you never come to completely understand until you get to glory. God designed it that way. And while we must not misunderstand what I've stated, what we must not draw, amen, from my statement is that God is unable to be understood. He can be understood. The truth is, amen, he is able to be understood, but it is true that God cannot be understood fully or exhaustively. Is everybody with me? In other words, you can know about God, amen, but you can't fully, and everybody understand what I mean exhaustively mean, right? Everything there is. Sum total of everything. You can't know about him and know more about him day by day. But it doesn't matter how deep we get in God, there's still more to learn. There's still more to understand and come to realize about the God we serve. And that's the awesomeness about the God we serve. Praise the Lord. All right. So these facts reveal the awesomeness of our God. Job says that God's great act in creating and sustaining creation are but the outskirts of his ways, and declares how small a whisper do we hear him. But the thunder of his power we can understand. Therefore, we may know things about God's love, or things about his wonderful, awesome power, or things about his wisdom, or the awesomeness about his amazing grace, or how he is plenteous in mercy. Or we may know things about his wonderful truth and about his word, or even the things about his justice and his sovereignty. But we can never know completely even of his love completely and exhaustively. We know of his love, and we sense his love, and we receive his love, and we give out that same kind of love. But even though you have the love of Jesus, amen, there's more still to be gotten, and there's more still to give. Somebody shout and say amen. So even in the individual things about God, there's still more to know. More to know about his great power. More to know about his awesome wisdom. I know we read about it in Solomon, but God will show it to you in your everyday life. He will reveal it to you. How do you think Solomon had the wisdom that he had? First of all, his heart was right. Amen. First of all, amen, he could have asked God for anything. And God told him, because you didn't ask for all of this, not only am I going to bless you with wisdom, but I'm going to bless you with all of that too. Somebody shout and say amen. That's how God is. And these things shall be added unto it. Praise the Lord. That's how he is. But if your heart is right and you're pursuing him, amen, with the right motives, God sees and understands that, and he will give you revelation, knowledge, and wisdom. But not only, you'll have wisdom that surpasses all of your peers. That's what happened with the three Hebrew boys. He gave them the ability to have wisdom far above all their peers. And God is just like that. So, although we can know about the wisdom of God and know about his wonderful, awesome grace and how plenteous he is in mercy, there's still more to know about that. There's still more to know about his truth and more to know about his love and more to know about the Holy Spirit, more to know about his word. Amen. Because why? We can never know about even these individual specific things completely and exhaustively when it comes to our God. And so it means that even though we vehemently seek to know him, we can never know too much about him or too much of him, or we never can become too close to him. You understand, right? You talk about the pursuit of God. That's what we have to be doing on a day-by-day basis, is pursuing our God, pursuing our Heavenly Father, pursuing our Savior, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, each and every day of our life. You got to be just in pursuit, amen? Because the Bible said God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you have to vehemently pursue him. You have to vehemently want to know more. You have to, you know, take some time. If he's important enough to us, amen, we have to take some time out of our schedule and spend time with him, amen, on our knees and in prayer and in the word of God and in worship. Because there's always more to know about him. And we can never exhaust or run out of things to know about him. And so we will never tire in delighting in the search about our God. I know he showed you something on yesterday, but guess what? He's going to show you some more today, and he's going to show you some more on to tomorrow, because he's just like that. And that's the reason why we can continue to delight in the search and in discovery of things about him and about his works and about who he is. So the good news is we will be able to go on continually in life to increase. Somebody say increase. See, because listen, that's why we got to do it on an ongoing basis, because guess what? If you're not moving forward, You're going backwards. Come on. You ever hear the word backslide? That's exactly what it is. If you're not moving forward, guess what? You're not standing still. Some people, I'm just standing still. You're not standing still. You're moving backwards if you're not moving forward. And that's the reason why we can't be the same today as we were yesterday. I can't be the same today as I was last week. I can't be the same today as I was last month. I can't be the same today as I was last year. I got to be a little bit more like Jesus today than I was on yesterday, and more like him today than I was on last week. And it's a progression. Woo! It's a longer continuing, if you will, that we become more like him. That's what it's all about. It's a process. It's day by day. It's progressive. It's a development. It's kind of like, amen. God teaches us even when we're children. And all of the things that happen to us. I can look back in my childhood and praise God. God was teaching me all along the way. We used to have these caterpillars all in our backyard. Amen. I used to catch them and put them in the jar and watch them. And those caterpillars used to attach themselves to the house and turn into a cocoon. And I'd watch, amen, this caterpillar, amen, beautifully turn from a crawling caterpillar to a beautiful butterfly. You know what that process is called? It's what we get the word metamorphosis from. A transformation or a change. And that's how it is with you and I. As we continue to seek the Lord, amen, we may move from a caterpillar, but at some point or another, we end up in the cocoon. And at some point or another, we're going to start coming on out of that cocoon, and our wings are going to spread, and we're going to take off and fly. That's a change is going to take place. Metamorphosis, and that's the transformation. And that's what God wants. He wants us in life. This spiritual life is all about transformation. To be transformed into the image of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. We got to renew our mind. We can't think the same way. And therefore, we won't act the same way, because we've been changed. Something happened in our hearts. God changed our hearts. love of Jesus came in. All right. So the good news is that we will be able to go on continually in life to increase in our knowledge of God and delight in ourselves more and more in him. David said, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast are the sums of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. That's Psalms 139, 17 and 18. And so Paul concludes in life that if we are to lead a life worthy of the Lord and fully pleasing him, and that's our desire, right? Because now that we are children of God, our desire is to please him. Mm-hmm. That's real. I don't believe in God. God is into all a list of do's and don'ts, if you will. It's how do we carry out our life? Amen. Our barometer is what does it take to please our Heavenly Father? Amen. That's what's going to keep us doing what's right. Because we don't want to disobey our Heavenly Father. We don't want to displease him. And so it must be a life continually increasing in the knowledge of God. That's Colossians 1 and 10. So we should be growing continually throughout our lives. And lastly, even though we spend time in Bible study and in fellowship with God in every day of our lives, there are always to be more to learn. Touch your name and say, there's more to learn. Oh, my goodness. There is more. I got books on end at my house, and I got programs, and, you know, I've got all kinds of tapes and, you know, CDs and things. Bible. But, you know, there's still always more to learn. And that's the reason why I believe that every Sunday morning, there's nothing wrong with preaching, amen, a message that I preached before, amen. But one thing for sure, I believe that every time I stand up here before you, God's people, there must be fresh bread, just baked, if you will. Amen. Fresh, not stale, but fresh, living Word of God. And I'm amazed of just the number of years that I've been preaching the Word of God. He continually, if you get before the Father, he will give you a word. He will give you a message. He's just like that fresh bread, fresh food. Talk about bread of heaven. Yeah, he will feed you. Bless God. And sometimes God starts showing me things and I start typing as fast as I can because I don't want to lose it. You know what I'm talking about. God shows something to you. If you wait 5 minutes and get up and walk out the room and come back, it's gone. You better write. Touch him and say, you better write it down. And I'm not just talking about the message of the Word of God. When God starts revealing some things to you, listen, you need to write them down. Get you a book. Get you a journal. Get you something that when God, when you're sitting down and you're praying to God and, you know, prayer is just not you praying to him. Amen. And you're getting up off your knees. You got to stay there a little bit longer because you didn't talk to him. Now he wants to talk with you. And God is just like it. He'll start giving you things. But, you know, that's the reason why I'm a firm believer that God, he's a creating God, and he gives you creating abilities. He puts things in your mind and gives you the ability and capacity to create things, to invent things. He's just like that. And when he starts showing you things, you know, and you have this idea, you better design, you better draw it up, you better write it down. Because if you wait till next month or next, you know, next week or next month, it's gone. And you try to retrieve it and tell me if it's coming back. Write it down and then follow through. I'm running to people all the time. Oh, I have this idea and oh, it's an awesome idea. And, you know, they haven't written it down. They haven't gotten a prototype and they don't follow through. Bless God. We got some millionaires in this place because God has given you ideas and abilities, but you got to follow through. Touch your name and say follow through. Amen. If you got to write it down and put it on a timeline, write it down. And so on such and such a date, I'm going to do this. And such and such, I'm going to follow through and do that. Otherwise, what? It'll never get done. And you'll lose what God has given you. Praise the Lord. Because he's like that. He blesses his people. But we got to follow through. There's no shortage in the wisdom of God. There's no shortage, amen, in the creating abilities of God. But we have to do our part. Because he's certainly doing his. Praise the Lord. All right. I'll leave that alone. So we even though we spend time in Bible study and fellowship with God every day, there's always more to learn, more to pursue in our relationship, not only to us and others and even to those in the world, but mostly to our God. Therefore, we'll always be grateful and thankful for what God gives us. Amen. And what we can give to him in worship and praise. And ultimately, it's not only knowing things of him. By knowing all of these things about him and of him helps us not only to know more about him, but it helps us to draw closer to him when all of these things are revealed to us. Praise the Lord. So ultimately, it's not only knowing the things of him, but knowing him personally. Not, you can't go into anybody else's experience. You got to know him for yourself. You got to know him intimately. Not just, you know, I know some things about him, but you really got to know him intimately and closely. Using our effort to pursue him more and more throughout our lives. That's what it's all about. Can we know him? Yes. Is he knowable? Yes. He's not this far out being that you can't be touched. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the Bible says. And even when we're tempted at all points, God will help us. Like Jesus was tempted at all points. Amen. But what will he do? He'll always make a way of escape. Trust in him and never doubt him. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct our paths. That's what it's all about.